Hey, thanks for joining us on our video series. We're trying to tackle that question with everything that's going on about AI and these continual AI tools promising transformation for hotels, but never really addressing, is the hotel actually ready for it yet? So we wanted to get into part of those discussions and really opening up to our partners who each have their areas of expertise. And so it's great to have you join us. We've got some very specific questions around that broad theme, but tailored to your areas and user guest area of expertise. So let's just dive straight into it and see what comes out of the this discussion. But as always, I'm sure it'd be fascinating. So let's get into the first question. Why is it a mistake for a hotel to expect AI to fix booking numbers if its foundational digital strategy or property fundamentals are broken? That's a fairly long question, but it kind of gets to the core of where some of these problems are. So what's your broad answer to that first question?
Great question. So first of all, thank you for having me, and great to do the session. It's always end up in the having great conversations, and we go deep in this topic. So just a bit of a follow up. I don't know if I expected at some point this year, I expected to have a bit of a victory lap. I was right, but maybe I was right.
We'll get to that at the end of this year, and we'll have little banners go up celebrating your success and your predictions.
Maybe I was right like for 10 days and then I was completely wrong, and now I'm in between right and wrong. Absolutely. That's a great question. So I think anything, all this new tech developments, every time something happened to really change the industry, the ones who had the good fundamentals won right away, and so they impact right away. Mm-hmm. So I think we see it with our portfolio, with our customer base. The most important part is having a solid booking path.
Right.
Having the right conversion rates. Mm-hmm. So that means having the right pricing strategy, parity, the right offering, mm-hmm. cancelable rates, having the right user experience, and taking care of the fundamentals from a website booking engine perspective. Easy path, not a clogged website, not something that takes time to load, the right choice of booking engine, how you display your pictures, and then also that's on website. Mm-hmm. And obviously reviews will always have a huge impact.
Yeah.
So nowadays, how many users will choose to book less than a 4 stars reviews, less than 8. Same thing for restaurants. Mm-hmm. So below 4, you don't even consider it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Regardless of the price point. So those really are the fundamentals. Once that's, let's say, that work is done and you're operating at a decent level conversion rate-wise, conversion rate is just basically the main metric that's going to tell you if all your fundamentals are correct or managed. And if that's doing okay, above average, then whatever traffic you're adding to it, it's going to translate into bookings.
Gotcha.
All things being equal, you should just, if you're getting the right type of traffic, the right qualified traffic, targeting the right markets, and so on, you should just get more bookings naturally. Yeah. But you need to get your fundamentals right. Throw in budget at something that's broken, that's not going to stick. That's not going to work.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. You said you see this within your portfolio, so you must be involved and your team involved in a lot of conversations when you're first approached or approaching hotel groups. This may be a little bit specific, so we can always go on to another question, but I'm just interested, is there a point in the conversation when you're first starting out where you realize that the hotel has a foundations problem rather than a technology problem. You know, so they're coming to you, but actually you're sitting there going, hold on a minute, we've got a lot, there's a lot that has to be dealt with here before we even get into what our solutions can be doing.
Yes, we do. But by default, when you start thinking about a conversion tool, about traffic, mm-hmm. about generating more, think about acquisition, naturally, it filters out a bit.
Okay.
A lot of the type of properties. Others, let's say at the lower end, you think hotels that don't even have a booking engine. Mm-hmm. They rely or don't have even a channel manager. So
yep.
That's steps first to even consider a conversion tool or a marketing solution to attract traffic to the website. So mm-hmm. naturally, there's a bit of a filter that happens.
Yep.
But when they come to you at maybe too early stage, it might be just, it's a great property. They never had the need to actually have a booking engine or have a channel manager, just a, let's say, small boutique, countryside hotel, a B&B, mm-hmm. that's doing
yep.
very well.
Yep.
They never had the need. It's more operational efficiencies that push them eventually to start thinking about a booking engine. If not, gotcha. They were doing it manually or a channel manager, or they rely quite a bit on OTAs. They think, why bother having a website? It's just for show. The website yeah. is just basically a shopping window. Having a website, I don't need the whole tech that comes behind it because I have such a small operation. But still, I can rely easily on the booking engines, on the OTAs.
Yeah.
So when those come to us at some point, those conversations, it's more, they have great foundations. But, and the motivation is more, I need profitability. I'm too dependent on the OTAs.
Yeah.
And I'm spending too much month after month cutting that check. When mostly you're fully booked, that check is even bigger.
Yeah.
And if all those bookings came from Booking Expedia, then they start considering the basics of direct.
Yeah.
So then I need a booking engine. So that happens. We do have those conversations mm-hmm. with smaller operations, but we need to guide them to, okay, get your foundations right, get the booking engine, channel manager, and then at some point we can help you with more conversions. Once everything is done the right way, the right website and so on, we can help you with pushing more people to the booking engine and attracting more visitors to the website.
I get you. That makes sense. Second question I wanted to ask you about this. That was obviously a follow-up to that first. Paid advertising. Okay. It's, you know, there are people that just spend all their time dealing with this. It's become, you know, it's a crowded space. It seems to be getting more overcrowded. How does AI act as a conductor to ensure hotels reach those high intent guests rather than just adding to the digital noise that is going on?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a magic wand solution. Here you go, do a bit of AI and it's going to solve all your problems. So AI right now, if we're talking about as a generalist feature, not specific to the hotel business, we're talking about efficiency. Mm-hmm. So directly, the impact on your campaigns, your performance, it's not the first thing that you see.
Okay.
It's not the first usage. The first usage from an agency, marketeer, campaign manager perspective is gaining efficiencies.
Okay.
So being able to do your job way faster.
Yeah.
Maybe relying on a bit of AI from the campaigns, from mm-hmm. Both from the platforms, I mean, yeah. Whether it's Meta Ads or Google, obviously the biggest, those are the biggest platforms. They all have launched their own products where slowly they automate a lot of things, signals. Mm-hmm. They try to push your ad to the right audience. So looking for high intent. That's mm-hmm. where the AI may help with the performance. But at the same time, you need to control the platforms.
Yep.
They work in their own best interest. They're not working on your own best interest.
Mostly funny that. If
go figure, everybody's in the making money business. So as we know, then they're not nonprofits organizations. So They would definitely look into increase their revenues. So all these features that were launched from day one. So we've been working personally 20 years working on Google Ads. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's every new feature, you need to use it in your best interest.
Yeah.
So when the hotelier is dealing directly with Google, there's a lot of traps. So for every new big development, in this case with AI, you're going to have a lot of wasted clicks, spend, costs. That's not in favor. Obviously, it's in favor of Google.
Gotcha.
Or Meta. So you need that to understand a bit how it works, how the platforms work, and finding the way to use that AI in your best advantage. Mm-hmm. So it's not always, okay, right away, the impact is first efficiency. You need a bit of expertise on the platform and understand how they work. And then understand a bit how can I mitigate the risk, maximize the usage of these new features, this new AI. That's going to drive more bookings, more revenue for me, but at the same time, mitigate that cost increase of cost risk.
I've got you.
So that's really the game that we need to play. And I think it's for every new enhancement of platforms or new big features, in this case with AI, we just need to find a way to use it in our advantage. But it's not always as straightforward as we would think. All right, I click on the, let's say, AI Max, the new feature, the new Google yeah. feature. I click on it, launch that campaign, and I see bookings coming in. It's not that simple.
Well, I was going to ask that, actually. It's like, are there aspects where you see, are there certain elements where you see hotels maybe most commonly misfire, even when the AI is doing its job correctly? There's something hotel side, should I say?
Well, misalignment between the brand, mm-hmm. whatever the AI is producing, mm-hmm. is it really aligned with the branded guidelines?
Okay.
And even things that agencies cannot 100% control. Mm-hmm. PMax, for instance, PMax campaigns, even Facebook does it quite a bit. I'm that old, so I still say Facebook. I don't call it Meta ads. It's always going to be hard for me to call it Meta ads. But they would, for instance, you give it all your assets. It's supposed to be automated, mm-hmm. but that combination of assets, copy that's written, kind of pushed, you'd still have an impact on the copy that's being displayed. But the combination of different copies with the image, with the offer, with what's live on the website, there could be quite a bit of misalignment. So we do see that happening quite a bit. Yeah. There'd be disconnect, maybe showing something that's an offer that's not even live anymore,
right,
or benefits, or talking about a little group of hotel, you can pick up information from a second hotel. So mm-hmm. you need to really be close to it. That's why a lot of hotels still rely on agencies, on either agencies or tech companies that can avoid all these mistakes and yeah. know how to navigate the platforms. So directly managing hotels, going directly with the platform, yes, sounds good. But there's quite a bit of time that need to be spent on those. So there's still a lot of mistakes that can happen with the AI. And ourselves internally, we use quite a bit of AI within our platform for specific mm-hmm. features. When we have an ad studio, creation of all the assets, the banners and everything, we still need to keep an eye on it, using another AI actually, to make sure that it's not creating content that's nonsense.
Yeah.
It can have a bit of a delirious content that can be created by the AIs, and it still happens. Right. So you need to stay close to it.
Because AI is an enabler and not replacing people, and certainly not a replacement for leadership, how do you feel that those in key roles need to evolve their mindset as they look to transition from this traditional manual bidding to the AI-driven acquisition?
I mean, there's a lot of tools. So the current buzzword is cloud. So mm-hmm. cloud work, cloud code, and just heavily use cloud usage.
Yep.
So we are myself using it heavily, the team, in different ways. So you would think it would be easy. So it can do amazing things. So, mm-hmm. but it still needs to be all the AI advancement and the features and this access You can use it in your day-to-day for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But then when you start connecting platforms, very niche, let's say, jobs, it does take quite a bit of time. So we do see this initial eagerness at just, I'm just going to do it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But it quickly, and myself, I've been a victim of this, but quickly you roll back to, I still need this to be platformed.
Mm-hmm.
With the platform, somebody that's already worked all the different edge scenarios, that's already covered a lot of the possibilities to allow me to do my job. I just need the AI to do X mm-hmm. without all the extra noise. Mm-hmm. And that's just general thought, yeah. But it's specifically to bidding, to all this usage of AI to automate certain tasks. You can do a couple of things here and there on your own, but then having access to the platform, to the bidding platform, so to Google Ads, to Meta Ads, you still need an interface in between
mm-hmm.
that is gonna has already done the work, has already worked out all the cases, and simplifies your life. I think it's an enabler to do more, mm-hmm. to do more, to think outside the box, to think about strategy,
mm-hmm.
To do a bit more analysis, cross-reference things. That's probably the biggest added value of AI.
Gotcha. Next question for you. And as an ex-Expedia guy, and the moment we start talking about direct booking and acquisition and conversion and costs and technology, the OTAs will always come into the conversation. So we know a lot of things about the OTAs, but one thing that really stands out is that, you know, they're always pretty sophisticated in how they go about capturing traffic and their adoption of AI to capture traffic. Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, I mean, if we're really honest, can a hotel truly expect to remain competitive in the direct channel if they stick doing with what they're doing, you know, this manual human bidding strategies? I guess there's two elements to it. A, can they compete with the OTAs is like the first question. And then secondly, can they compete if they continue operating the way that they are?
So first question, it's always been the case. Mm-hmm. How the OTAs operate, there's different levels of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the funnel, discovery type of traffic, that's very expensive because it's very broad.
Mm-hmm.
So the OTAs have always dominated the market. They have way more choice. The booking approach, get as much supply as possible and the demand will follow. That has been their approach. And you land on their website, they're the first one to innovate and not send the traffic to the hotel page, but send you to the destination page or a bit filtered page. So search mm-hmm. results page.
Mm-hmm.
So they get in the traffic at the top mid of the funnel. They've been great at that. Where are the hotels going to compete in that field?
Mm-hmm.
The one hotel offers one option in its destination in yeah. one neighborhood, so or a little group of hotels, they have multiple hotels.
Yeah.
So aside from the chains, obviously. So the hotels where they were able to compete was really protecting their brand. Protecting the hotel name,
mm-hmm.
and instead of the OTAs using the name to then send the traffic to search results, the hotel can gather the traffic directly.
Okay.
And most of the traffic, really the transactional traffic, sits there, whether mm-hmm. it's for the OTAs or for the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the hotels can really compete against Expedia, against Booking. Is when they're looking for your brand, you can really go for that traffic.
Right.
You can outbid them, actually.
Okay.
Booking has 1 million properties. If they would have to bid a million properties.
Cover 1 million, yeah.
1,000 euros times 1 million yeah, per month.
Yeah.
They would have budget. Right? But we know how much they're spending. So that would be a huge spend for them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they, we know they spend 4 to 8 billion.
Yeah.
And so on. So But at a hotel level, you specifically, you can outbid Booking and Expedia on the markets that make sense for you.
Yeah.
On the markets that have the highest intent.
Yep.
So that's where I think the hotels can really outbid and really compete against the hotels.
Gotcha.
With the new developments, with all the new features, AI and everything, it actually helps. There's two things that helped how the market has shifted from a technology perspective. There's way more campaigns, PMax, AI Max. They are can go for super qualified traffic and still be a bit more generic. So you can still appear in your destination, whereas before you had to bid on London hotel, super expensive keyword, very hard to appear there. You compete against not just OTAs, but TripAdvisor, Kayak, Trivago. Mm-hmm. So you're always on page 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So that was very hard to compete. But now with PMax and AI Max, based on your positioning of a hotel, what the user is looking for, and the signals that Google would have, you would still appear, and you can gather quite a bit of that traffic. And that's working super well for hotels. So that was one big pro for hotels. Actually, they started getting more traffic. The ones that went into rights started getting more traffic. And second, I think the behavior is changing quite a bit also. More and more travelers are super savvy. They're using Google, Meta in really different ways, and the OTAs in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's more as really top of the funnel they might be using Booking. But then when it comes to the transaction itself, they might shortlist two, three hotels and find themselves in the hotel website at some point.
Yeah.
Or have a look at the TikTok or the Meta or the Instagram page of the hotel, or different ways, different channels to actually go book the hotel. So that behavior has changed, and they want to check the hotel. Maybe they get a better deal. So coming back to your question, it's not really, I think, the edge that the OTAs still have over independent. I don't think it's so much to technology. Obviously, they're always early adopters.
Yeah.
They have, let's say, more sophisticated bidding, access to the betas from Google, from Meta, TripAdvisor, Trivago, you name it. But it's right now, the last year plus or so, so let's say before this AI, let's say, boom, is the loyalty programs that gave the OTAs the edge.
Yeah.
So the difference, whether it's Expedia or Booking, so the members' rates, that really what gave them the edge, and the fact that you're, depending on what level you are, how often you book, you have a better discount. That was really the big edge that they got lately.
Yeah.
You always will need OTAs. I'm not a believer of 100% direct bookings. If that happens, good for you. But you depend a lot on that traffic as well. That organic traffic, the fact that that you're listed on Booking and Expedia, you do well, you have the good ratings, the good reviews. You will naturally have a lot of traffic to the website thanks to the OTAs. And in low season, I'm sure all hotels love the OTAs.
Yeah, I bet.
In high season, way less, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's a strategy. So you just need to play the game with them and then play the right way.
It's interesting. That leads us on really well to the final question. How can AI-powered acquisition help that well-run hotel to pivot faster than their competitor who is still managing their ads, you know, that typical weekly, monthly manual updates?
Very good question. And well, it is a feature that we offer through the Ads Plus and through the platform, but this is, I think, general knowledge. The way that the hotels can do this is using the AI is being close to their own data and being able to cross-reference that data. Senior occupancy levels, your current booking behavior, that's shifting. That's your first signal, how people are booking your hotel right away. So regardless of the channel, so as a whole, your website, how's your website operating? And you see the differences per market. And those are quite obvious. And 1 week to another, it really shifts. So it could be a high seasonality for X markets. But maybe you get a lot of cancellations. Let's say the US, you start to have a lot of cancellations coming from the US. If you're a hotel in the other part of the world, maybe in Asia.
Yep.
So those happen quickly. And the first signal is your website. So if you're able to utilize AI to cross-reference your booking levels, your occupancy levels, the booking behavior, your website traffic, and analyze the conversion rate fluctuations at a market level, then you can really adapt quickly to the to macro environment. For instance, like you said, it's perfectly. We see a shift in short haul in terms of crisis. We've seen it with COVID. Nobody books it ahead of time. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. If certain airports will be shut, there, you know, that transition from Europe to the Asia has to go through Middle East a lot of times. So the war, for instance, has a huge impact on how people are traveling. Obviously, the impact on fuels. So maybe price of tickets will increase in destinations, mid-haul, short-haul, mid-haul destinations might be affected. So that you will see it right away with either your cancellations, you're going to see with the booking intents, maybe you start seeing much more local traffic. And that's what we've seen in during COVID, the increase of staycations. So that, but the first step is you will see it within your website. And the best way to do it is using utilizing AI or some platforms, SaaS, like what we offer at on AdSplus, to pick up that information, to pick up those signals, and adapt your copy, your content, your offers. If you get way more staycations, last minute offers would make way more sense. Push people to book now, and instead of they would do a staycation just for the weekend, how can we push them to stay 3 nights instead of two? So it slightly changed the behavior, but it comes first reading the signals, understanding how things are shifting quickly. And the best way to do it would be running your data through the AI.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. I think on that note, I'm very conscious of your time. I don't want to hold you anymore, but that's been a very, very interesting conversation. And we will definitely come back to you at the end of 2026 to pick up on your predictions for this year and look at how we might need to tweak those for 2027. And hopefully sometime between now and that period, we'll be able to catch up with you again on at least one, if not two, further discussions. But thank you once more. Always, always fascinating to talk with you about this topic. You know it so well. You kind of have so much knowledge and experience and expertise in this area. So it's always wonderful to hear your insights. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, likewise, Trevor. Thank you so much for the time. And yeah, it'd be fun to see the level of what was right, what was wrong. But I'm sure I'll be as much wrong as I was right during, during the year, how things have shifted so much.
Absolutely.
So it'll be fun. Maybe there was a bit of a, there'll be a bit of a right, I guess, but
sure
a lot of wrong.
We look forward to revisiting on that. You take care.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening, and I hope the conversation was of interest. Please do feel free to suggest any topics you would like discussed in the future. We're always open to ideas. Thank you once more, and I hope you will join us again. Goodbye for now.